What is the Buddhist view on euthanasia? Some time back, I had a talk in this class. The topic was, does withdrawing life support machines contradict with first precept? That talk also related to euthanasia. But in that talk, we specifically talk about that particular point. And in this talk, today I'm going to look at the euthanasia from the Buddhist point of view and what is the general view of the Buddhists regarding euthanasia. Euthanasia is intentional killing of a terminally ill person. Somebody is terminally ill and cannot be cured, or brain dead, or in such kind of cases where the doctors give up their hope, then we intentionally kill that person. To me, in this process, we use the word euthanasia. Now, the way that we carry on euthanasia and the ability or inability to make the decision based on these two factors, we have given different names to euthanasia based on how we execute the process of euthanasia. We have two types of euthanasia. One is known as active euthanasia, the other one is known as passive euthanasia. Active euthanasia is the process that we give some little substance like injection to the patient and let the patient die. So we use the method to kill the patient. Very active way. The other method is passive euthanasia. We still kill the patient, but not with poisons or injections or some other ways, but rather perhaps we let the patient to die without treating the patient, withholding medical procedures, or perhaps maybe someone who is a tube-fed patient, we decide not to feed the patient anymore, so let the patient die slowly. So that process is known as passive euthanasia. Then euthanasia also has got another two labels that based on the ability and inability to make a decision by the patient himself. There are cases where the patient is unconscious, perhaps even brain dead. He or she cannot make a decision, so another person, maybe a family member or somebody who has got legal authority to decide, that person decides to carry on euthanasia. So that kind of case, it is known as involuntary euthanasia because the patient doesn't know. And there can be other cases where the patient is conscious, can make a decision. So the patient himself or herself decide to die, decide to kill herself or himself. So this is known as voluntary euthanasia. Now, based on these, we have four types of names: active euthanasia, passive euthanasia, involuntary euthanasia, and voluntary euthanasia. And they can be combined together also and come out with many other labels as well, based on different conditioning. There are people who argue for euthanasia, as well as there are people who argue against for euthanasia, based on their religious belief, cultural tradition, and due to many other factors. Some of the people who argue for euthanasia What the argument they bring out is compassion. They say this patient is undergoing so much pain and suffering, and the patient cannot be recovered. No point of living in a such a miserable situation. Patient is extremely suffering. Not only the patient, but also the family members, loved ones, relatives, they are also suffering. So they bring up this point of suffering. So we have to relieve suffering. So based on compassion, so we kill the patient. They label it compassionate killing or mercy killing. And the idea is, by killing the patient, by exercising euthanasia, we can let the patient relieve from his suffering, and also let the relatives to relieve from suffering. So this is one argument. Another argument people bring up is the economic burden, the cost to keep a terminally ill person on life support machines. Keeping a patient in the hospitals, supported by machines and nurses and doctors, it is very, very costly. And it is unbearable for some families. Some people have to spend so much money and they run out their business, they bankrupt. Even some cases, we can go to that extent because they cannot pay out. So the other argument really is, what is the point of prolonging the life in this kind of particular cases? So it is better to let the patient to die by exercising euthanasia. So this is another argument. The third strong argument people bring for euthanasia is, it is the choice that we must have. Life belongs to us. My life belongs to me. So I must have freedom to decide, to do what I want with my life. It is up to me to keep living or dying. So I must be given the freedom to exercise my authority if I want to die, and then I must be given that freedom to die. So this is the third argument. All these three arguments are very valid, very strong. No one can deny it. So this is one side of the picture. Another side of the picture, then, those who argue against euthanasia. And those arguments are also quite valid, and they also have reasons. So those who go against euthanasia, one of the most powerful arguments that they bring is, it is against morality. Killing is an unwholesome action, evil action. It is not a morally good action. And based on their argument, they understand and they argue, any kind of killing is a bad action. It is immoral, wicked, cruel. So this is one of the arguments. The second argument, again, is also very strong. And they say that killing a person who is terminally ill, it is against medical ethics. Doctors and nurses, and they have their own medical ethics, and they take oath not to kill the patient. And the duty of nurses and the doctors is to support the life, protect the life. So if the doctors and nurses take action to kill a patient, it is against their moral, it is against their professional values. So this is also important and strong argument that also we cannot deny. The third argument, which is very perhaps maybe not so strong, but we still cannot deny it. Some people argue, but there are cases where those people who are recognized as coma states, or vegetable states, or even brain dead states, there are rare cases where the patients recover from that state. If it is the case, so that what doctors say may not be true, or maybe doctors misjudge it. So there might be the possibility of these patients who are bedridden or who are declared as brain dead, it is possible that they might recover, since there were such incidents happen. So they argue that it is better to keep them alive. So we have some people who argue supporting euthanasia, and there are some people who are against euthanasia. Where do Buddhists stand? Where are we? Both sides has got valid argument. So, being a Buddhist, if we were to face this situation, how are we going to react? Now, here onward, I'm going to elaborate what Buddhists we think. But before that, I have to tell you, do not look for yes and no answer here. I'm not going to tell you yes or no, but I'm going to elaborate it for you to think. Now, taking involuntary euthanasia, it means killing a patient against his will or wish, or a patient who is in a situation where he or she cannot take decision for this. When we decide to kill, all the Buddhist schools recognize that it is a form of killing. So involuntary euthanasia we recognize as a form of killing. But having said so, we Buddhists, we also recognize not all the kinds of killings are same. There are different types of killings, different degree of gravity involved, different degree of moral gravity involved in killing. So not all the killings are same. We also recognize the difference. So involuntary euthanasia, all the Buddhist schools recognize, is a form of killing. But again, there can be differences. Now, voluntary euthanasia, on the other hand, it is a form of suicide, because you decide to end your life. So we can label it as a form of suicide. However, different Buddhist schools might have got different views on this. Suicide is not similar to killing another human being. Buddhism also recognizes we have right for our life. We can decide what we want. We have that freedom. So remember, in Buddhism, you are given the freedom. So in Buddhist teachings, we are responsible, of course. With the freedom, we have responsibility. In Buddhism, you have freedom to decide what you want. At the same time, you must be responsible of what you are doing. So freedom comes with responsibility in Buddhist teaching. So here, of course, we have the freedom to decide with our life what we want, whether to live or die. So that is our freedom. But of course, we also must be responsible for our own action. So voluntary euthanasia, it is a form of suicide, but it still we recognize it is not a form of suicide. You might go to the extent to do it out of hatred, ill will, anger, or to take revenge. So there might be difference here. So not all the killings are same, not all the forms of suicide are same. There are differences. Now, how we can decide for ourselves if we were to face this situation? This is the most important question here. We cannot give you standard level type of answers like yes or no, but rather we can give you some direction. Buddha has given these directions to us because Buddha recognized that we have freedom, and at the same time that freedom comes with responsibility, then he gives us some guidance. The guidance that we can found in the suttas related to this complicated, crucial, and very, very complicated issue is actually found in Nirvedika Sutta. In Nirvedika Sutta, when Buddha defined karma, and he very precisely, very clearly point out intention. What he means as karma is intention. This is the same point I brought out in my earlier talk when I talked about whether the withdrawing life support machine contradict with the first precept. It's also intention I pointed out, if some of you remember. So here in this talk also, this intention is so important. The intention makes a drastic difference of where we are standing on this particular case. Now, intention makes the changes. Not all the kinds of killings are same, not all the types of suicides are same. But intention behind the action of killing, intention behind the action of suicide is to be taken into consideration, together with the other factors. Now, suppose we have this kind of case. We have a patient who is undergoing so much pain and suffering, and he cannot be cured, and there is so much economic burden to the family, and the family members are also suffering. This patient is in drained situation or cannot recover at all. So no matter how long you are keeping this patient, the doctors panic that it cannot be recovered. Under this kind of case, we have to take a decision. So people, as I said, they might go to the extent to terminate his life, and they might bring up it as mercy killing, out of compassion to relieve suffering, and we are going to terminate his life. Now this kind of action, which is also true, there is some degree of compassion. We cannot see. We want to relieve the suffering from this patient and from this family member. So there is some degree of compassion. But at the same time, there is some degree of unwholesome thoughts. There is some degree of hatred towards the sickness, towards this body, towards this condition that your loved one is facing. So you might be motivated by compassion to take this action, but at the same time, in the process of executing it, you might also generate some degree of unpleasant, unwholesome thoughts which are related to your defilements. Take another incident. Suppose you yourself is suffering from incurable disease, but you are conscious. You are conscious. And everyone recognizes that your disease cannot be cured. But you are also having so much pain and suffering. Your wife and children and the family members, they are running into debt. And then they are trying to keep you on the machines. And then you yourself come to a point, I should not let my family members, relatives, to undergo this pain and suffering, to run into debt, and I cannot afford it. Since I cannot recover myself, let myself to terminate my life, which is committing suicide. Suppose if you were to take that decision, at that moment when you decide it, you might decide it out of compassion for your loved ones. It is not for you, but you want to relieve the suffering from the other person. But even though it is so, you still might have some degree of unpleasant, unwholesome defilement. You might have hatred towards your own body. You might have hatred towards your sickness. So, this is the point now. When it comes to karma, there are no karmas that we can sometimes draw the line. There are karmas, sometimes mixture of both good and bad. Now, Buddha, in one of the discourses in Anguttara Nikaya, talked about four types of karmas. One of the karma, he says, dark karma with dark results. And these actions are very clear. These are the actions which are done with unwholesome thoughts, unwholesome intention, motivated by unwholesome intentions, and karmically destructive, socially destructive, unwholesome, evil, wicked type of actions. They produce suffering. It's very clear. Second type of karma, the Buddha says, bright karma with bright results. These are the positive side. Wholesome types of action, motivated by compassion, goodwill, friendship. These actions, we are beneficial, karmically productive, and socially also beneficial, ethical actions. These actions have got good, wholesome effect. These actions bring happiness. Then Buddha talked about third type of karma. He said, dark and bright actions with dark and bright results. These are the actions we do with both wholesome and unwholesome thoughts. We cannot define them as either wholesome or unwholesome, but rather mixture of them. Now when you go to exercise euthanasia, whether it is voluntary euthanasia or involuntary euthanasia, if you are motivated by compassion, and if you want to take into consideration suffering of the other people, and motivated by that, and if you want to take such actions, and we need to recognize the compassionate aspect of it, but we also cannot forget, and you also have some degree of hatred, some degree of defilement, because killing cannot be done with wholesome thought. Killing is always accompanied by some degree of unwholesome thoughts too. So when we do voluntary euthanasia or involuntary euthanasia, and these actions are to be taken as actions done with dark and bright intentions, and with the dark and bright results. Dark and bright actions with dark and bright results. So, then the Buddha talks about the fourth type of karma. He said, neither dark nor bright, those actions that lead to destruction of the actions. Neither dark nor bright actions that lead to destroy the karma itself. These are the actions that give us to destroy the karmic link and go beyond the samsaric existence. These are the actions that lead to enlightenment. So what are these actions? This is nothing but insight meditation. When you sit for the meditation and when you see five aggregates of clinging, material, body, feelings, perception, mental formation, and consciousness, in the light of impermanence, unsatisfactory, and soullessness, and that itself lead to destroy the karmic link, and these actions are the actions that lead to enlightenment. So in this sutta, is about four actions. First three actions are within the conditioned state. It lead to rebirth and give result. And the fourth type of actions give us to go beyond the field of birth and death process.